So returning to our open session agenda item 5, we will now take up consideration and take possible action to adjust the amortization layers to manage tail volatility. Welcome. Great to see you both.
Good morning.
Red is on, right?
There we go. We got new stuff here, by the way. We got better microphones. We've got better monitors. You still got the same one, but we've got improved capability. So the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. Christine, you want to kick it off or just jump in? Okay. Thank you, members of the board. This is Paul Angelo and Andy Young from Siegel, and we have an agendized action item today. This is kind of a once in your trustee career. This is not something that happens all the time, but there's a feature of layered amortization that is called tail volatility. We did preview this with you in September last year, September 13th. We showed you a couple other systems that had the same circumstance and took the same sort of action. Yours is actually a little more complicated than theirs was, but we are making a very specific recommendation on how to manage this. So we'll go through the slide deck here. You also have our letter, which is dated
April 17th.
And it basically has the same information that we're presenting here on the slide deck. So we go to slide 2. Your funding policy pays off your unfunded liability. When we did our actuarial 101 in September, there are 3 elements of funding policy. There's a cost method that we never touch. There's asset smoothing that we talk about every year in the valuation. And then there's how do you pay off any difference between your accrued liability and your assets, so-called unfunded liability. And what you do is each year when a new piece is identified, it is amortized or paid off over its own 18-year period. And so you're familiar in your actual report we'll show you today, there's a whole table of all these layers. So you use 18 years for gains and losses and assumption changes, and you use 10 years. And we have a quiz about how did you get 18 years. Turns out there's a whole separate thing called negative amortization. It used to be that if you had an amortization period longer than 18, your unfunded would actually go up and then it would go down. And so when the board reset this policy over 10 years ago, you actually set the 18-year period. That's as long as you could go and not have any negative amortization. Just that's a little history for you. So, and we structure these as a level percentage of pay. If we go to the next slide 4, there's a table in your report that we're going to reproduce here, which shows let's back up one slide to 3. My mistake, 3. Yeah. For each amortization layer, we show you all the information you could possibly want to know about where your unfunded liability came from. We tell you for each piece where it came from, what caused it, when did it first occur, how big was it when it was born, how big was the layer, what is the current outstanding remaining balance on that layer, how many years before it's fully paid off, and what's the current year payment. And then you add all these up, and you get your total unfunded. So now if we can go to slide 4. I'm not going to, this is kind of an eye chart. You're going to see this over and over because this is 2022. We're going to show you an updated version of where this will be in 2023 if there are no new layers. And then we're going to go through what we're actually doing. Now, if you squint at the far right column, you'll see that some of the layers have parentheses around them. And if you really squint, you can see that in 2013, we had an assumption change that actually made the unfunded go down. And we had actual experience that were gains that made the unfunded go down. So when the unfunded goes up, that creates what we call a charge layer. You have to pay it off. But when the unfunded goes down, we actually have what we call a credit layer. And that actually gives you, so your net amortization payment down at the bottom, that $155 million, is the sum of all the charges minus all the credits. And that is where the tail volatility comes from. Well, we're going to show you more pictures of this when we get to the current year. If we go to slide 5, we're still in last year's actuarial report. We're going to show you not just where you are today, but how those layers are going to play out in the future. We want to stress this assumes no future gains and losses, no future assumption changes, no future nothing. Everything just happens according to plan. So the next slide, this is slide 6 is pretty easy. Everything above that black zero line, those are your charge layers. This is the outstanding balance. And everything below the zero line are those credit layers. So the black line is actually your net unfunded liability today, which is right about $1 billion. Now this looks pretty smooth. It's when you look at the payments that things get a little rocky. So if we go to the next slide. So layer amortization allows full transparency. It's a partly a joke. If someone says, so where'd your unfunded come from? You answer is how much time do you have? Because you can actually tell them where every dollar came from. But the thing about these layers, if they were all bad news, if they were all charges, they would just drop off and your payments would just go down as you pay off each layer. But when a credit layer, it's not that it's paid off, it's when that credit is fully recognized, well, then you no longer have that credit and it makes your cost go up. So that's what we say here. The ability to track the unfunded by layers comes at a policy price that we call tail volatility. Most of your layers are charge layers, but the gain layers, or actually there was even one that was an assumption change that was a reduction, those are credit layers. When a charge layer is fully amortized, next year's contribution goes down. But when a credit layer is fully amortized, next year's contribution goes up. So go to slide 8. Now, this has been in your report for a while. We also showed this to you last September. And if you went back to the table, what you would see is that you're going along there and you see 4 years out, you've got a layer that drops off. It's about $16 million. So from year 4 to year 5, you see way up there at the top, that's a reduction of about $16 million. Then the next year, oh, you got a nice big layer there at 5 years. That's about $37 million. You got another gain, another charge layer dropping off of $31 million. You'll see that big blue one there. There's a blue and a green together, which are about 8 years out. That blue is an assumption change. That was an increase. And the green is a loss. That's an increase. Well, those are going to be fully paid off. So between year 8 and 9, costs are going to go down by $83 million. That's where that big, you see the black line, it actually drops down below zero. I'm not going to get into it. That does not mean we're going to give money back to the county, trust me. But it means that at that point, you've got so many amortization credits left that the credits are actually bigger than the charges. But then what happens in year 9? You see down there, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. That is a $40 million credit. So from year 9 to year 10, the costs are going to go up by $40 million. That's why the black line shoots up again. The next year, you have a $28 million credit. It shoots up again. The next year, you have an $8 million credit, $4 million credit. So you got this plunge between years about 6 to 9, and then in the increase. Well, wouldn't it be nice if those charge layers, that big blue slab, can we kind of synchronize those so the credits and the charges are both fully amortized at the same time? That is the action that we're recommending today. And because there's a lot of other bumpy stuff going on, we're actually going to take a whole band of layers and synchronize them all up. Now, this is 2022. If we can go to the next slide. That slide is done in dollars. When we talk about this, it's a lot easier to do this if you just look at it as a percentage of pay. So here's what I just described. You know, in years, between years 4 and 5, drop. 5 to 6, drop. 6 to 7, drop. 7 to 8, drop. 8 to 9, that's that big $83 million drop. Here it says a percentage of pay. But then it goes up as those credit layers fully amortize. So what we're going to do is kind of just draw a straighter line through this. But the way we do that is by adjusting the amortization periods. So let's go to slide 10. And this is our action for today. This is occasionally happens. It really, you know, this is something that we can see coming from a long ways away. And so this is not something that happens very often in a plan's life. But the idea is we do this to manage tail volatility. We are not trying to pay the unfunded off any faster or slower than we originally were. It's all about getting a more smooth pattern of contribution for your employers. Now, the actual, what I've been describing here, they're described, I tend to describe the layers in terms of how many years are left. Here they're described in terms of when they're actually going to drop off. There's decreases in 2029 and 2030 because you're fully amortizing those loss layers that were established way back in 2011, 2012. And then here's those gains I was talking about. In 2013, 2014, you had gains, and you also had an assumption change that lowered cost. When those are fully amortized, your costs go up. Let's go to slide 11. So here's what we're going to do. We will summarize this recommendation on the very last slide as basis for action. So what we're going to do is, effective with the 2023 valuation, the one that we're working on now, we're basically going to use a 6-year amortization period for a whole bunch of layers. All the layers between 2011 through 2018, we're going to show this on the table coming up, During those, over those are eight different valuations. There are actually 16 different layers in there between gains and losses, assumption changes, other actions. It turns out if you net them all together, the net of those layers is about $40 million. But that is actually, are you ready? $866 million of outstanding balance of charges and $826 million of credits. So you have these two very big charges and credits. We're going to basically synchronize them. The net of those is $40 million, which for your plan is a relatively small layer. So let's, there will be, you know, this will look better with a picture. It turns out when you do this, it doesn't come out exactly even in terms of the current year cost. We're not doing this so as to either increase or decrease the current cost, but it's going to go one way or the other. In your case, it turns out there actually would be an immediate short-term reduction in employer contributions of about 1.6% of pay. Now, Andy has pointed out to me, because of asset smoothing, we are already expecting, if there are no surprises, just from asset smoothing, we were expecting that the average employer rate was going to go up by about 0.75% of pay. As a result of this action, absent any new gains and losses, it'll go down by about 0.75% of pay. That's not why we're doing it, but it is. So it's sort of fortuitous that we're taking this action. It happens to produce a short-term cost decrease, which will actually will offset what would otherwise have been a cost increase. But I want to be very clear: we're doing this in order to manage the pattern of costs. We're not aiming at a result that is either higher or lower for the current year.
Yeah, I think for the record, I want to emphasize that. That's in spite of the fact that, as the trustees are aware, you had a very good year 2023. Rate of return are coming at 9%. So even after taking the 9% return, going through the assets moving, we're still expecting a contribution rate increase, because you remember before 2023 we had a couple of bad years. So that's the result of the recognizing the good returns and offsetting some of the bad returns from the prior years.
Okay, so now if we go to the next slide, slide 12. So here's that same table. It's 1 year later. So all the periods are now smaller by 1 year. And we've actually highlighted in red all the layers that are going to be combined. Everything from the ones that were 6 years remaining, which is 2011, to the ones that have 13 years remaining, which is 2018. And so right now, those are all at various different layers. We are basically recommending that all of those will have an outstanding remaining period of 6 years. Happens to be the current period for the first layer. We're basically taking everything from 6 to 13, shortening them all to 6. Now, you say, well, wait a second. If you shorten my amortization period, won't that make my costs go up? But remember, there's credits in here. When you shorten the amortization period for a credit, it makes the credit bigger. And those two will offset each other. So now let's go to the picture. I think on page 13. Oh, no, 13 is the after. So now you can see on 13 a lot of sixes. The payments for each one of those payment amounts went up, except for the one that was already 6, right? The one that used to be 7, now it's 6, that's going to be larger than it was before. The one that used to be 13, it's going to be a lot larger than it was before. But remember, there's charges and credits. But when you work through all the math here, what you get is, and you can also see with the change in the dollars, the net payment was $159 million on page 12, $160 million, and here it's $142 million. That's that 1.6% of pay reduction in the current year payment. But to really see the action, you got to go to slide 14. This is the whole story on one slide. We can think of this as, remember, we have some big savings between years 7 and 8, right, when that amortization charge is fully amortized. See that little triangle there that's right above 2030? That's a bunch of savings. Basically, we're taking that savings and spreading it out over the whole period. So in effect, if you look between years 2022 and 2029, the red squares is the current payment. The blue circles is the proposed payment. The area, that little slice in that sort of S-shaped slice, the area of that is exactly the same as the area of that triangle. We're just taking that big savings triangle between around 2030 and basically spreading that out over years 2023 through 2029. But that's the trade-off. And you can see that's a big savings in that triangle. It's got to go somewhere. But where it goes is a lower cost for the first 8 years showing. It's even more complicated than this. You have 12 rate groups. In practice, there's going to be a picture like this. We're not going to do them all unless we're asked to, but we actually looked at how this works out for each rate group. We designed this primarily around what's called rate group 2, which is the county, by far your largest rate group. Some of the other ones, same pattern. Maybe there's a little plateau in there somewhere because some of your employers each have slightly different experience. And by the way, if it's helpful at any point for us to do something like this for the employers, we're of course able to do that. But this gives you the picture in the aggregate. So the recommended action is to take the red line, which crashes down, then goes up, and then goes back down, and trade it in for the blue circles. But again, will be done individually for each of your 12 rate groups. Andy, I think that's all we've got. That's our last slide. I have the earlier version. So this is just to summarize. We are going to adjust the selected amortization periods to manage tail volatility, which occurs as part of the implementation of your layered amortization. It's to reduce the volatility of the employer contributions that's expected to occur beginning around 2029. We're going to use a 6-year remaining amortization period for all the layers that were established during the 8 years from 2011 to 2018. It'll be effective with the December 31, 2023 valuation. Notice we are not merging the layers. We want to keep the detail. We want to know where the unfunded came from. We're just going to have them all synchronized with the same amortization period. This is not a change in your ongoing funding policy. We're not amending the policy. And it will have no impact on the results that are already adopted. That is from the 2022 valuation. Those are the rates that go into effect July 1 of 2025. Oh, it's coming right up. Okay, 2024. So the rates that are going to affect this year are not affected. What will change will be the rates that will be part of the 2023 valuation, which you adopt this year. Those go into effect July 1, 2025.
Well, thank you, Paul and Andy. Fascinating. If you don't mind, would you leave the prior slide up? I think it's plate 15.
Sure, that's your action.
Leave that up. And I think... I don't know if there are questions, but if there's a motion to be made, the motion would be what you see on your monitor and what's behind us on the screen. This is the recommended action. So I don't know if we have questions or if there's a motion that somebody wants to put on the table. However, we'd like to proceed. Great discussion and understanding of it. I was thinking that we were going into the time machine and fixing things, but I like the trade-in idea.
It is.
I think the concept of trading in the old amortization schedule and getting a new one at no out-of-pocket cost is a good one, I think.
Just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
I think overall it seems like a pretty rational plan, and it has a nice kicker of lowering costs up front. I'm sure that makes it a little more palatable. You refer obliquely to the I think it was year 8 where it dips below. If we don't change anything, it dips below. We wouldn't get a check. What actually happens in that instance?
Who knows? That is something we would have to manage when we get there. First of all, if we can go back to that slide, the one that has the, I think it's just two before, yeah, this one right here. First of all, remember, when we get to 2030, other things might have happened. We might have lowered the discount rate again. We might have stretched out the mortality table, which means this whole curve could shift up. So we don't know that you'll necessarily actually have a negative net amortization payment. But if you do, first of all, it means you got to ask your actuary, why didn't we have this conversation earlier, which is why we're doing this now. We are not allowed by, you might think, well, we would simply have the employer, instead of paying the normal cost plus 14% of pay like they are right now, have the employer pay the normal cost minus, what's that, about 3% of pay. And then the next year would be normal, and then it would be back to normal cost plus a little bit. Well, under PEPRA, the plan is not allowed to collect less than the normal cost. The employer is not allowed to pay less than normal cost. So we would have to sort of cut this off at zero anyway, in practical terms. That means that from a pure present value standpoint, the plan would be collecting more on a present value basis than it actually needs, and then you would have a gain the next year. That's one reason why we want to manage it so this doesn't happen. In practical terms, though, Trustee Kwan, you were not allowed to collect less than normal cost, so we would not, in fact, give an amortization credit to the employer if this were left unattended. And again, remember, the whole thing might shift up or down. So the problem becomes moot if we have other things happen that increase the cost by 3% by adding new layers at the bottom, the whole curve goes up and we wouldn't have this question. Short answer is we would collect the full normal cost.
Any other questions?
Move to approve.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second? All right, it's been moved and seconded to approve the recommendations that are, for purposes of the record, shown on the Siegel presentation at slide or plate 15 in three bullets. Any further discussion or questions on the item? Seeing none, I think we can go ahead and vote. Trustee Anderson, did you have any questions on the item? I should have asked you.
No, it's an interesting concept, and I'm always about smoothing and not dipping into the unknown as we would in 2030, assuming we didn't have other changes. So I'm supportive of us moving forward with this.
All right, thank you. Well, and with that, we'll go ahead and vote, and you get to vote first. So on the motion, Anderson.
Aye.
Jabotarev.
Aye.
Gordon. Aye. Holcomb.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Zhu.
Aye.
Wong.
Aye.
Kwan.
Aye.
And Sloan.
Aye.
That motion carries 9-0. Paul and Andy, thank you. As always, very interesting presentation. Makes sense? Nope. No, it's it's always a pleasure to see you both. And great to see you. We'll see you back here in, I feel like I'm a game show host, August?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Scott, I will. Two things that occurred to me when I first saw this. First, when I saw the presentation titled Tail Volatility, I thought we were going to get a Boeing report on challenges of their latest new aircraft. And then the other thing is, maybe it's just people of my age. When you start seeing charts, and I see a lot of these things in different charts, that start showing dates that you're unlikely to see, it always concerns me, you know. So it's, I'm never going to see another eclipse. Yeah. I know that, you know, because I'm not going to live that long. So I'm going to ask one of our younger board members to come by and sit down on a nice little marble bench on a small grassy knoll and tell me how this all worked out.
I'll break
that. That's right.
It's a happy thought, Jerry. Thank you. All right.
Welcome back.